always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Monday afternoon by Harrison. Usually, Harrison, we talk on Tuesday, and I could make the joke, man, what an insane week it's been. And you would say, it's only Tuesday, Lemon. And in this case, what a week it's been. And it is only Monday. And on this Monday so far, we have ESPN running an article saying that the league found no wrongdoing of itself, and that the Clippers have been, you know, they have not been found guilty of anything to this point. And just an interesting amount of reporting that felt very one-sided in that article. Then you had the league come out and say that that article was, you know, filled with falsehoods and all that other stuff, and which was crazy because I felt like that was written by Steve Ballmer. And then, you know, and usually the league and the Clippers would be kind of in lockstep on this. So I was kind of talking about that, and I was getting ready to record an episode about that. But then while I am picking up Avery, my phone goes nuts. And it was like, get ready, something's coming. And then get the report from, I think Shams broke this one after not being involved in the Lakers being sold to Bob Iger and Josh Kushner the first time around. This time, Shams is the one who tweets out that the Buss family have now sold the entirety of their stake in the Lakers to Bob Iger and Josh Kushner, ending an era. This is it. This is the end of the Buss era with the Lakers. I then get several texts afterward and I made a few calls and stuff like that. Like, how did this come together? And come to find out that it was, according to sources, the other Buss siblings who flanked Genie on this one. Outflanked Genie on this one and sold the Lakers away from her after, and this is according to Dave McMenamin, Genie had instructed the VP of finance, Joe McCormick, McCormick of the Lakers, and called for an emergency meeting of the Buss siblings last Sunday to discuss a dissolution of the family trust and seek unanimous approval to lock down all family shares for 4 years under a new trust. That is what sources told ESPN. Harrison, what do you think happens in 4 years?
You know, I don't know about that, but I do know. You and I were talking a little bit.
That's the end of the window. That's the end of the window that she negotiated.
Well, that's the end of the 5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah. But a year has already passed. 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Well, no. I've since found out that it is definitively 5 years. So this was.
Oh.
So Genie had instructed the lawyer, this McCormick fellow, to lock down these family shares to solidify her standing as team governor for the window that she negotiated off to the side of the initial sale in the first place. And this is something, by the way, Harrison, that I was told played a role, like that side negotiation played a role in getting here today, where those Buss siblings weren't exactly enthused about being fired, about being sued, about all of the motion that Genie undertook to control the Lakers for this 5 year window, at the end of which time, who knows? I've always wondered what the end game there was.
Maintain continuity for just herself while getting the same amount of payout as all of them, and none of the security that they got none of that security.
Well, also clearly it cost them money because only a year later the team goes for $2.5 billion more. So anyway, today on the show, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about some of the machinations behind the scenes and stuff like that, what this might mean moving forward, what it definitively means right now, and then what it might mean here moving forward. And a lot of people seem to be on the same page on this one. Mario Vera, Rob Pelinka is next. Rager 90210, Rob Pelinka, you're next. I'm sure that will come up as well. I also just kind of want to talk about like the bus era of the Lakers and, you know, the drastic difference between the continuity and the consistency and everything that we saw from the Dr. Bus era of the Lakers and the exact polar opposite of what we've seen after Dr. Bus, whether it was Jim Bus or Genie Bus running things or trying to continue running things. It's a wild, wild day. So before we get into this, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. So you get the notifications for the show, subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere you get them is perfectly fine by me. Today's show is brought to you in YouTube form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of free selections. When you sign up, use that promo code and win a $5 lineup of your own. But yeah, Harrison, like before we even dive into the nitty gritty and all of the shit, like where's your head at? Because I'm just, I don't even know how I feel. Where are you at?
I'm not sure how I feel about like everything that's happened, but I do feel like this is sort of the perfect way that the bus family saga could have ended with, you know, finally, you know, and I don't say finally, like I was like eagerly waiting for this or something, but it's just like, you would think the way that the family has moved, Genie has shanked just about everyone at this point. And so it's sort of perfect that, you know, it ends with all five siblings sort of kicking her off the mountaintop and, you know, just saying, we're all out. They burned the castle down on the way out because they couldn't decide succession.
Well, it was like, yeah, I mean, it was, do you remember the episode of Succession when I forget the characters' names now, but there was the one kid who was like, I'm the eldest boy. I'm the eldest boy. I'm the eldest boy. And you had the other two siblings sitting there like, none of us should be running this. Look at us.
Well, and also he wasn't the eldest boy.
Right.
So it sort of is like on brand for Genie, you know, like it does fit there. Although I do feel like House of the Dragon is a much better allegory.
Neither the eldest nor boy.
I feel like House of the Dragon is the more sort of apt like thing because I just don't feel like the Bus family drama has been nearly as competent as the Succession business drama. It's been more like House of the Dragon where it's like, okay, like, we're just gonna all like set each other on fire and, you know, like the realm is gonna suffer and burn for like our sort of petty grievances. And that is sort of a lot more of what, you know, like the, because, you know, I saw somebody up higher you know, in the comments saying like 12 titles in 46 years or whatever the stat is for Bus family ownership. But to me, that is like while that is true, that's sort of like saying that like Kobe and Smush Parker combined for 86 points against the Toronto Raptors. You know, it's like yes, it's factually accurate. But yeah. 11 of those were with their dad running the team, and one was with like in this later Succession era. And so it's like people are going to paint this as like, wow, 12 titles in 46 years. How could Lakers fans be ungrateful with that? That's one title every 11 year. You know, like most teams would kill for that. Or, you know, I'm not good at math. That was actually not accurate math. You know, like one title every, I don't know, what would that be? 4 years? 5 years? Yeah.
Yeah, 4.5 years.
Yeah. And it's like teams would kill for that level of success. And it's like, well, I mean, that's not the level of success, though, that turned Lakers fans against the Bus family. It's the level of success since the passing of Jerry. And, you know, if there's one thing that you can't argue in all of this, it's not that Genie didn't have her chance. you know, she got her chance to run this. She got her chance with Jim running the show, and then she got her chance to fire him and run the show herself. She got her chance after selling the team to continue running the show and like try and maintain stability. Yeah. And it's just like none of that has been good for anyone, but I guess maybe her ego. And, you know, it's just not surprising to see it end this way. It was never just going to continue in a trust where all six of these family members theoretically have an equal vote on decisions, where it's like you can keep sort of working the politics to get a 4-6 in your favor and then not have everyone mad at you in the end.
I want to go back to your comparison to the House of the Dragon, because I think this is a really important and apt point that you were making there. And like one of the things that whenever I watched that, one of the points made in the show, I forget which character said it, but they were like, the townsfolk, the regular people living in Flea Bottom and stuff like that, they don't care who their ruler is. They don't care who's king. They don't care who's queen. They just want to be able to get by. They don't want like whoever is king or queen or ruler or whatever, like, you know, all that matters to them is that that king, that queen runs things in as stable a way that they possibly can so that that person can live a fulfilling life that befits a citizen of whatever city or realm or whatever. And I feel like throughout all of this, through like basically since Dr. Buss died, when you had Jim Buss take over, and that became a mess in its own right, and you had the Lew Waldeng contract, and you had the Timothy Mozgov contract, and then you had the foray into tanking and building through the draft, and then you had an attempted coup that would allow that to continue by way by Jim and Johnny. And you had the lawsuit that Jeannie needed to undertake so that that couldn't take place. And then you had Jeannie take over. And then she goes with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and the Rambi. And, you know, it was fortunately for them, they had LeBron show up at the onset of that process. And I think that kind of helped paint over some of the issues that were clearly going on behind the scenes. And then after LeBron is gone, or as LeBron kind of prepares to exit stage left, or as his game kind of starts slipping and stuff like that, and he's not able to paint over some of those issues any longer, you start to see, oh shit, this is just yet another shitty ruler. And then she sells to somebody who we think is the White Knight. All right, we're released from the bus drama. We're good here, right? No, we're not good here. Which, by the way, I had told you about my theory about like Mark Walter turning ice away at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. And yeah, how that I believed was the starting point on that. Got that confirmed, by the way. But anyway, Mark Walter takes over. And like, we're thinking, great, he's going to do it all over again. But we've seen with the Dodgers, this is going to be fixed. This is going to be great, right? Wrong. Not just because Mark Walter would eventually have to sell because of the shit that he was doing behind the scenes to pretend to have enough money to afford the Lakers at $10 billion. But also because of the Buss family drama that had become like almost ingrained into the fabric of the Lakers organization, we weren't actually rid of the Buss family. Jeannie had gone through painstaking detail to continue to run the Lakers in a way that Lakers fans had grown sick of. And meanwhile, like while all this is going on, and then you have Walter eventually has to sell because he bought the Lakers with funny money. And then you have Bob Iger and Josh Kushner show up and send us into the great unknown because we don't know what steps they're going to take with the Lakers when they take over. And then again, once again, is yet one final reminder of the nonsense that the Buss family had put us through after Dr. Jerry Buss had passed away or when he had started to get sick. We get one final reminder here as the Buss siblings. And I also, by the way, I understand why they did it, but they basically go behind Jeannie's back. They team up on Jeannie to then get her out of there too. And meanwhile, all of us are sitting here. All of us who are Lakers fans are just sitting here and being like, are y'all done? We don't care who the ruler is. We don't care who owns the Lakers. Just be good at your fucking jobs. That's all we're asking. And that's, I think that's where I'm at today. It's just like, I don't care who owns this team anymore. A part of me is a little sad because it isn't the Buss family. They're such a big part of like my childhood, all that stuff. But like at the end of the day, just win basketball games. Run yourself in an adult manner. Stop with this nonsense infighting between, you know, siblings and stuff like this. Just stop, man. I'm done. Just be professional and allow us to just root for this team and go on about the rest of our lives. That's it. I don't really think that it has to be any more complicated than that.
And to your point of like the, you know, continuing the tortured, you know, sort of Westeros succession analogy, you know, it's like no one down here on our level cared, you know, like it's not even like they were cared what they were fighting about. It's just they were fighting like that. None of us had like a strong opinion, you know, like they weren't fighting over monumental basketball decisions. They were fighting over like whose crony got to be on the payroll at this time, you know, and it's just like it's like completely like unrelatable fights that you all are having, and you're firing each other, and you know, you're filing restraining orders on each other, and it's just like it's just a mess. And you know, it's why I think, you know, among like sort of many other reasons, including some of like the you know, what we saw as payroll cheapness, like we've sort of been banging the drum that like this Buss thing is not going to work for like going back to like the, you know, I think the first Russ year. And it's just like, this is not, you know, sort of bearing results. There's way too much loyalty to the wrong people. There's way too much finger pointing, you know, and sort of insider dealing and like cronyism and nepotism and whatever. And it's just like, you know, and we had to be careful what we wish for, but we were like, hey, get some real rich people in here. And, you know, fate eventually delivered. And then that one was accused of rich people financial crimes that he'll probably face like no penalties for. And then the next ones have their own sort of problematic elements. So, you know, I'm sure say you don't care about who owns the Lakers. I'm sure you're going to find something to complain about soon.
Well, yes. I mean, like I should be clear that there are dealings that Kushner, like I saw Jacob wrote about this for Silver Screen, right? About like, you know, how Kushner like says all the right things publicly, but financially continues to benefit from the opposite of those right things that he says publicly. Yeah. So it's like, none of these, and by the way, Harrison, it's like I've been saying all along, I'm not going to sit up here, even if Bernie Sanders bought the Lakers, and like I wouldn't sit here and stand him either. Like I truly care about, all that really matters to me, living through all of this nonsense, and in our case, Harrison, covering a lot of nonsense. All I want right now is for Bob Iger and for Josh Kushner, the new owners of the Lakers, to hold some kind of press conference whenever they possibly can and deliver some type of central message on what we should expect of the Lakers organization on their watch. That's it. Like this whole era of the Lakers needs to end. This whole, like, I can't wait to like, I'll probably even participate in it, but like the 30 for 30 on the last like 18 months of the Lakers is going to be incredible, but I'm sick of living in it. Right? Like I'm sick. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I want. Like I just want,
can we fast forward watching this on TV? It's going to be a really entertaining 2-hour documentary. It's not a great time to be alive for like 3 years
right now. You know, turns out living in the documentary sucks way more than watching the documentary after the fact.
Yeah.
After it happens. And I feel like that's how the majority of Lakers fans are going to feel today. Is that like, let's just enough, enough.
I agree. I do have to say, and I'm sure that we're going to get to this, but it's, you know, it is sort of perfect that, you know, in Jeannie's last gasp. She let Rob use up all the assets and like completely commit to a team and direction one last time right before he is skating on the thinnest ice possible with ownership with absolutely no loyalty or like dedication to him. I mean, maybe, you know, who knows, maybe he'll like, he's shown to be a shrewd political motivator, but he just keeps saying like, raise my rent. He's like, all right, I want a feud with LeBron, let's go. Like, I, you know, I want a feud with multiple literal owners of the team who are in the front office. Like, I survived an ownership change where I get to remain in power. And he's like, oh, let's bring me another one with one where the people don't know me at all. And we'll see how long he lasts sort of continuing to play this like harder and harder roguelike difficulty. But, you know, at this point, we can't even rule out like him sort of becoming like Bob Iger and Josh Kushner's Rambi.
So I had tweeted this out earlier where I said, I really wish all this hadn't gone down after the latest, most critical offseason in recent Lakers history. And then somebody replied to me, and honestly, I think it's a very fair question I don't know the answer to. Dylan Tronnell replied, this happening before would have been worse. No, I don't know, man.
It's a good point, actually.